Welcome back to The Truth About the Market, where we cut through the noise and talk about what's really happening in aviation. Not the hype, not the headlines, just the truth. I'm your host, Jason Zilberbrand. I'm president of VREF. Over my career, I've appraised just about everything that flies, from Pipers to Gulfstreams, for clients that range from the FAA and SpaceX to celebrities, billionaires, global financial institutions, lenders, insurance companies, and some of the largest aircraft fleets in the world. I've also owned, operated, bought and sold my own aircraft, so I understand these issues not just academically, but operationally and financially. And just as important, this podcast is sponsor-free. There are no advertisers to appease. There are no companies paying for airtime. There's no incentive to soften the truth. What you hear is unfiltered because aviation doesn't reward spin, and markets punish misinformation eventually. And today, we're going to talk about something that sits at the center of almost every aircraft transaction on Earth: comparable sales, or what the industry likes to call comps. If you've ever bought an airplane, sold an airplane, or just asked what one might be worth, you've heard the phrase, the comps support the price. Three words that carry enormous weight in aviation finance, because banks rely on them, and brokers like to cite them, and buyers, they tend to negotiate with them, and then sellers, they like to defend their sales price or their asking price with them. And entire valuations, sometimes hundreds of millions of dollars in lending decisions, can hinge on what those comps supposedly say. But here's the uncomfortable truth. In aviation, the comparable sales data people rely on is often far less reliable than they think. Not because everybody is dishonest. Most people in this industry are trying to do the right thing. The problem is structural. The entire pipeline used to collect aircraft sales data, from the moment a deal closes to the moment it appears in a market report, relies on a system that was never designed for transparency, for verification, or statistical reliability. Why? Because it relies on voluntary reporting. It relies on self-interested participants, mainly brokers, and it often relies on secondhand information that can't be independently verified. Yet, once that number gets printed in a report, or repeated in a newsletter, or referenced in a sales brochure, it suddenly becomes the market. A single transaction, sometimes misreported, or incomplete, or misunderstood, can ripple through the industry and start influencing pricing everywhere. And that's where things start to get dangerous. Because once the market begins believing numbers aren't grounded in verified reality, pricing stops reflecting economics and starts reflecting narratives. And narratives, as we know, are super fragile. So today, I'm going to be pulling back the curtain on how aircraft comps are actually collected, why the system works the way it does, and why sophisticated buyers, sophisticated lenders, and sophisticated investors are beginning to question the numbers they've relied on for sometimes decades. Because once you understand how that data is actually gathered, the illusion becomes obvious. So, to understand the limitations of comparable sales in aviation, you first have to understand something fundamental about this industry, and that is there is no MLS system for aircraft. Unlike residential real estate, where every single transaction, every single price change, concession, and the closing is recorded in a centralized database, aviation operates in a far more private environment. Aircraft transactions are confidential by design. Purchase agreements are private. Escrow instructions are private. Inspection findings are private. Maintenance credits and concessions are private. Even the financial structure or the deal is private. Non-disclosures everywhere. What that means is simple. There is no public registry of aircraft sales price. None. It does not. It will never exist. There is no centralized database where verified transaction values are recorded and audited. Okay. So then, how do sales data end up in market reports? Well, the truth is word of mouth. After a deal closes, someone calls someone. It's probably a researcher from a research department at a brokerage house, or one of the several people now that sell sales comps making those same phone calls. And here's a statistic most people don't realize. In the global aircraft market, well over 95% of transactions never, ever have their financial purchase price publicly disclosed anywhere, not in any registry, not in any public filing, and certainly not in any transaction database, which means almost every comp the industry talks about is coming from reported information, not documented evidence. A broker might mention the number to a reporting service, or an operator might mention a transaction during a conversation, and a buyer, they might reference what they believe the aircraft sold for, with all the broker's research departments making similar calls to every buyer and seller of every deal they're made aware of. You can see how this goes nowhere fast. Anyone who has worked inside aircraft transactions has received those calls. Researchers asking what a deal closed for. Most participants decline because transaction economics are private and contractual. We all have non-disclosure agreements. Those fragments of information, though, eventually become what the industry likes to call a comp. But there's another layer most people never think about. When companies sell access to aircraft sales data, they're not selling audited records. They're selling reported information provided by market participants, many of whom are also their own clients. And that creates an unusual dynamic. Because if you think about it, the same brokers who rely on those services for listings, marketing, and visibility are often the same people supplying the transaction data, and that ultimately becomes the product that they're reselling to you. In other words, the data pipeline itself is built on voluntary disclosure from interested parties. Selling comp data is actually the easy part. A number gets reported, a number gets published. But here's the key question very few people ask. Where is the purchase agreement that proves it, backs it up? Because in aviation, the underlying transaction documents, the aircraft purchase agreements that contain the real price and the real credits and the offsets and the deposits and the concessions and the commissions, that stuff's never published. So what the market often treats as a verified transaction data point is frequently something else entirely, a number reported by someone, repeated often enough that eventually people start believing it must be true. This episode is powered by VREF, the trusted name in aircraft valuations and appraisals. Whether you fly a piston single or manage a business jet fleet, VREF keeps you grounded in data that matters. Visit VREF.com to know what your aircraft is truly worth before you buy, sell, or finance. So even when a transaction makes its way into a report, another problem immediately appears. There is almost no independent verification. The core document that defines an aircraft transaction, as I said, is the APA, or the purchase agreement. That document outlines every financial element of the deal. The price, the deposits, right, the inspections, and any negotiated adjustments between the parties. But those agreements don't become public. They remain confidential. And as a result, the services publishing these sales figures rarely see the underlying documentation that proves what actually occurred. At best, they're getting a reported number, when they typically do not see any contractual mechanics behind that number. See, aircraft transactions are rarely a clean exchange of a single dollar figure. They're negotiated packages that can include multiple financial components layered into a structure of a deal. An aircraft might appear to have sold for X, but the reality behind the closing can be far more complicated and closer to Y. There may have been maintenance credits, or engine program adjustments, or transfer fees, or a buyer may have received training allowances, or spare part packages, or maybe even inventory included with the aircraft. In some cases, there are trade-in aircraft involved, or deferred maintenance assumptions, or program enrollments, and that alters the real value of the transaction. And none of those components appear in a simple reported sales price. They're not going to show up in an Excel spreadsheet. Yet once the number enters circulation, it becomes the figure that people reference when discussing that specific market. And the industry often sees a single headline price. But the transaction itself may represent a far more complex financial structure. So, without the underlying purchase agreement, there is no way to verify or determine whether the reported number represents the actual economic outcome of the deal or simply the most visible piece of it. And that distinction matters more than people realize, because there's only a small number of people reporting most sales, and that's a structural reality in aviation. Market reporting is concentration. The entire information flow often depends on a relatively small number of people gathering, circulating, oftentimes very few transaction details. Tracking aircraft sales is labor-intensive. It requires monitoring listings, calling market participants, checking registrations daily, and trying to determine whether a deal actually closed or simply moved between two brokers. Because of that workload, only one researcher can realistically follow a limited slice of the market. A single analyst might be able to stay close to 15 or 20 aircraft segments at most before the information becomes thin. That means large portions of the global fleet rely on only a handful of people trying to track activity across thousands of aircraft, which is why they don't track very many models to begin with. And as a result, the same participants appear again and again and again in the information chain. The same brokers talking to the same researchers, the same operators sharing the same information across the multiple circles of professionals. And that same market conversation gets repeated in multiple channels. And again, over time, those inputs begin to overlap. And the numbers circulating through different reports and databases and newsletters giving the impression that multiple independent confirmations exist. But in many cases, there's only one underlying source tracing back to the same original conversation. It's no different than if you played operator as a kid. And that creates a phenomenon where data begins to reinforce itself. What appears to be a large and diverse data set may actually be a relatively small group of voices describing the market repeatedly. And to an outsider, or a neophyte, or someone new to the system, or new to the industry, what they're seeing may be broad and comprehensive. But beneath the surface, don't be fooled, the flow of information often moves through a very narrow pipeline, and when that pipeline is narrow, the market narrative can become far more fragile than people realize. But there is another dynamic layered into the process that rarely gets discussed openly. Because many of the participants supplying transaction information are also actively selling aircraft. And they represent inventory. And sometimes they have tons of listings. And often they have multiple aircraft of the same make and model on the market at the same time. So check this out. What happens, the perceived value of the aircraft type directly affects the seller's own position. If the reported sales in the segment appear strong, it supports stronger asking prices for similar aircraft still available for sale. And if the numbers appear weak, well, it's going to shift leverage quickly towards buyers. So reporting activity can sometimes align with economic incentives. When someone has several aircraft, a particular model for sale, it truly becomes beneficial for the broader market to believe those aircraft are trading at higher levels. A strong reported transaction can influence negotiations across the entire segment. Once a number enters the information stream, it begins traveling quickly. It appears in conversations, it becomes a reference point, and over time, that number can start shaping expectations. This dynamic exists in many asset markets because information gets shared by participants with financial exposure to the outcome, and that can influence how prices are perceived. But in aviation, where transactions are private and verification is limited, the effect can be amplified. Because when enough participants begin representing or repeating the same number, the market can start treating it as established reality, even when the underlying transaction details remain unseen. If you're tired of guessing aircraft values, try VREF Online. Real-time data, quarterly updates, over 900 models at your fingertips, from residual value forecasts to depreciation trends. It's the platform trusted by every lender, insurance company, and broker worldwide. Subscribe today at VREF.com. Start making decisions based on facts and not feelings. So why does all of this matter anyway? Well, this isn't just an academic debate about how market data is collected. It has real consequences for how aircraft are bought and sold, financed, and valued. And when buyers and lenders and investors or analysts rely too heavily on a small set of reported transactions, they risk forming conclusions about the market that may not be accurate. A few circulated numbers can begin shaping those expectations, and then it begins influencing negotiations, and then it begins influencing loan underwriting, and then the influence, the perception of whether a market is strong, weak, or stable, is wrong. But the aircraft values are not actually determined by a handful of reported transactions. They are determined by how the market behaves as a system, how many aircraft are currently available for sale, how quickly those aircraft are being absorbed by new buyers, whether inventory is expanding or shrinking. And where aircraft sit in their maintenance cycles, or whether major inspections or engine events are approaching, and how financing conditions affect the ability of buyers to enter that market, or whether lenders are expanding credit or tightening underwriting standards. See, those factors influence pricing power far more than a few isolated numbers called sales comps. A market with rising inventory and slow absorption will behave very differently from one with constrained supply and strong demand, regardless of what a few reported transactions might suggest. Likewise, an aircraft positioned just before a major inspection carries very different economic implications than one that recently completed a heavy maintenance event. In other words, pricing exists inside a broader system. Sales numbers alone cannot capture that ecosystem. When people focus only on isolated transactions, they risk mistaking individual anecdotes for structural market signals. Understanding the aircraft market requires looking at the full picture, the inventory dynamics, the life cycle economics, and the capital environment surrounding the entire fleet, because those forces ultimately determine where values actually move. Professional aircraft valuation cannot rely on a small collection of scattered transaction sales comps. Serious analysis requires a structured view of the market, built from multiple layers of evidence that together describe how aircraft are actually trading and why. At the foundation is observable market behavior: how many aircraft are listed for sale, how long they remain on the market, how frequently listings disappear or come back. These patterns reveal the pace of real activity and the balance between supply and demand. And next comes the maintenance positioning, because two aircraft of the same make and model can have dramatically different economic profiles depending on where they sit in their maintenance cycle. Because heavy inspections or landing gear overhauls or engine events, avionics upgrades, service bulletins, they all influence the real economic value of an airplane. Adjusting for those factors is essential to any credible valuation. And let's not forget the inventory dynamics, because that's critical. If the number of aircraft for sale begins rising faster than buyers can absorb them, pricing pressure will eventually follow. Conversely, when inventory tightens and demand remains steady, values often stabilize or strengthen. Those movements happen across fleets long before they show up in isolated sales comps. And then there's the buyer demand and transaction velocity, how quickly deals are forming, or how long people are negotiating back and forth, or how many potential buyers may exist for a single airplane. Because those signals reveal the true liquidity of the market. And liquidity ultimately determines whether aircraft values hold or they begin to soften. Sales data can certainly play a role in this process. It's a piece of the puzzle, but only when it is interpreted with broader structure of the entire market. Because without that context, individual transactions stop functioning as analytical inputs and begin self-serving a different purpose entirely. They become negotiation tools, numbers cited selectively to strengthen a market position rather than describe the full reality of the market. Here's my final thought. Comps are not the market. Comparable sales have their place in aviation analysis and research. They can provide reference points. They can illustrate how certain aircraft have traded under very specific circumstances. And when used carefully, they can contribute to understanding how buyers and sellers are interacting with a segment of the fleet. But they are only one piece of the information, one piece of the pie, one piece of the puzzle. They're not the entire market. The danger arises when a handful of reported transactions begin carrying more weight than the broader economic forces surrounding them. When that happens, individual deals, often incomplete, sometimes misunderstood, and frequently lacking context, start shaping the narrative of an entire market. In aviation, that risk is amplified by the structure of the industry. Aircraft transactions are private. Deal structures are complex. Documentation is confidential. And the information that circulates publicly is often partial at best. For lenders, this matters even more. Because when credit decisions rely on unreliable sales comps, valuation risk quietly becomes balance sheet risk. A number might appear in a report or a conversation and will quickly take on a life of its own. It gets repeated in negotiations, referenced in valuation discussions, cited as proof. There's just too much weight put on sales comps as an appraiser, in my opinion. Because without the full context of the transaction, knowing its maintenance status or any concessions in the deal, that number is only telling a small fraction of the story. Over time, those fragments create an illusion of precision because those fragments get forgotten, folks. The market begins treating reported transactions as if they represent clean, comparable data points, all apples, no oranges. When in reality, everything is an apple and an orange. They're just isolated snapshots from highly customized negotiations. That's why serious aviation research requires stepping back from the headline numbers and looking at the underlying forces shaping the supply and demand chains and the liquidity across our fleet. Because in a market built on non-disclosure agreements and private transactions and incomplete information, one principle will always hold true. What gets reported is not always what happened, and what happened doesn't always get reported. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd appreciate you taking a moment to support the show. Please leave us a review. Please share this episode with a colleague or a client. Hit the follow button. If you follow the podcast, you won't miss any upcoming discussions on aviation finance or valuation risk or the macro forces shaping asset markets. And remember, when you need accurate, defensible, and data-driven aircraft values, there's only one name in the industry to trust. That's VREF. Visit VREF.com to get started today. I want to thank you for listening. I'm Jason Zilberbrand, and this is The Truth About the Market. Until next time, fly safe and stay smart.